I need somebody help. Not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
735 on Hudson Life Focus Live. See that? We called for help, and Andrew O'Grady answered the call. Good morning, Andrew.
Perfect timing. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I'm looking over some music here this morning, and I was, you know, I happened to come across that Beatles song, and I thought, you know, it fits right in with what you and I have spoken about for a very long time. There comes a time that all of us need to ask for help, and we, you know, have to overcome the stigma and not be afraid to do it. Andrew?
Yeah, I agree. I was listening to your last segment. It reminds me of my last few days. I spent the last few days shucking clams like a champion, just like John Cena in the ring. I was so excited that I had to wrestle my emotions like I was watching a Disney movie, so I took a drive in my Chevy. Pretty good, right?
Did you drive your Chevy to the levee?
To the levee.
Yeah.
So the levee was dry.
Yeah.
Got to smile a little, you know?
Well,
good morning.
You know, I'm actually working on, you know, kind of redoing the format of the show here as I approach 1 year already here at the Beacon, Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. And, you know, it won't be until December 2nd, but putting some new parts and pieces together and, working to renew it and take it to a new level, Andrew.
Good for you. You always have to change, and you've done that your whole career. You know, you have to navigate the waters and see what's going to work and stay ahead of the curve. And you're doing that. That's why you've been in business so long on your show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and of course, November for the weekend show is going to mark 30 years, which I just, hard for me to believe. So, hey, speaking of changing and keeping up with things, staying ahead of the curve here, I'm looking at the order form for the apples that we should talk about real quick before we get into other business.
Yeah, let's. Is there a problem with the order? There's no order form problems, right? And I did
No. I just want people to know that there's a new feature here at MHA Duchess as a fundraiser. You can order your boxes of Honey Crisp and Granny Smith hand picked apples from Hudson Valley, from Apple Blossom Farms, and have them shipped to whoever you want. Andrew, what a great idea.
Yeah, it's really pretty interesting. I mean, they reached out. I don't know if we reached out to them, or I think they reached out to us, and it is a good idea. I mean, it's really nice. I've actually ordered a bunch for people that support certain things that I do. I'm sending it out to California. I'm sending some to Seattle.
Wow.
You can send them anywhere you want in the country, and this farm will send them out to them, pack them up in a beautiful box with an MHA sticker on it, and ship it anywhere. So I've sent some locally, I've sent some far and wide, and you can always also pick them up at MHA just like you do your week.
Sure. So I wanted people to know about this because, you know, we think it's a long way off. Order deadline November 3rd, and next thing you know, we blink our eyes and we're there. And I just think it's a great thing on multiple levels, you know, supporting local agriculture, calling awareness to the work of MHA. It's just a win-win all the way around, Andrew.
Yeah, our weeds come from Canada. So, you know, it's not supporting our local area, but the apples are local.
Yes.
And I drove to Walden the other day. Oh, my, you pass so many apple orchards. It's incredible.
Yes.
There's so much around here. It's amazing.
There really is. And, you know, as we go over the next several months, more and more we're, bringing in local historians, both from county historians as well as some of the historical societies. Because it's just, you know, there is a lot to celebrate. And Andrew, trying to, you know, there's darkness around us sometimes as well, but we've got to, you know, balance that and shine the light to cut through that darkness, because overwhelmingly there's still very good stuff going on and great people here in the Hudson Valley that we need to celebrate.
There are, and it makes me think about the latest commercial I have out, which is about seasonal affective disorder.
Yes.
And it's a real thing. And, you know, when the clocks get turned and it gets dark early and darker, in the morning, and, people tend to isolate at that time and they don't do anything and they stop communicating. So, you know, our reminder, you and I have always reminded people to reach out to those
Absolutely.
Of you. Those people in your neighborhood that you might normally see walking,
yep.
check in on them.
Yes.
Make sure they're okay. It feels good to check in on others, and for no reason at all. You're just checking in. Just
yep.
want to see if you're doing okay. I can tell you something. If somebody gets a call like that, it's really nice. It's very welcomed, and it feels nice to know that somebody's thinking about you. So it's a nice thing to do. Check in on people you haven't heard from in a while.
You know, that along with that, Tracy's scheduled to be with me tomorrow with, back to our food and nutrition. All of these things, Andrew, play together. And it made me think about an article that I think we'll probably talk about it tomorrow. Wait a minute. Let me just open this back up again here. It's something how... talking about health benefits of pumpkin spice. Those smells of spice and cinnamon and all, even something like that, how it can help your mental well-being, having those positive smells around you.
Well, it does a few things. It certainly can bring back memory, hopefully.
Yes.
Positive memories, but just like music, smell certain things, it just brings back memories, and hopefully it's a positive memory. It goes right to the limbic system, and then it controls your emotion and memory. So scents can certainly trigger emotionally responses, and hopefully they're positive. Like I said, sometimes it's negative. For most people it's positive, but in the work I do and the people I meet and the people I talk to, there are certainly one of the parts of PTSD is what brings back bad memories and what triggers an emotional response is negative. And many times it's smell.
Yes.
So, but it's amazing how powerful it can be. Both sound, what your senses pick up and what it triggers and what it can bring back. And hopefully for most of us, it's going to be very positive. As listening to you guys reminisce and what things triggered your memory about this, that, and the other thing. And it's true. I mean, there are so many different things that can be helpful. And it comes down, a lot of it has to do with food.
Yes, it does.
So, I loved being on the show with her a while back.
Yes.
It was a really nice connection I made with her. And she's pretty impressive, so I'm glad you're having her on again.
You know what I should do, Andrew, as we head toward the holidays? Let's plan to do that again. Have you, the day that Tracy's going to come in, let's have you come down to the studio and really talk about those things. Because as you said, SAD, seasonal affective disorder, is a real thing, but really, not isolating to what are those tasks that can be done with the... family, friends, fun, food that bring it all together, both the physical and all. Robbie wants to join the conversation.
You're kind of touching on seasonal depression, which I believe happens around this time. It kind of starts, but kind of this lonely season for a lot of people that maybe don't have a real strong connection with families. They see Thanksgiving roll around and then Christmas roll around, all these, holidays that, celebrate families, reasonably so, but maybe they don't have that, hallmark family. And so that really ties a lot of it in together, talking about feeling that kind of lonesomeness, but also calling that somebody that you haven't in a while to be like, hey, you're not that lonely because I'm still here for you.
Andrew?
Yeah, it's good to reach out. It'll trigger memories for all of us.
Yeah, and but the Robbie's point about where some of us are celebrating through the holidays, we have to remember that, for me, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, that, Christmas was a big event in our house. And back in, 4 days before Christmas in 1987, my mom passed away. And, so that time of the year, that always, but at least I can look back on it and, you know, take comfort in what joy she got out of it. So I have that positive memory to connect it to, even though, you know, the positive balance is the negative, I guess I'd say.
I'm sure it took a little time to get there.
Oh, sure.
But you have to get there. You have to be able to, you know, reframe that. I mean, I know some people who, you know, have lost people very close to them, obviously. And, you know, whether it's they passed around that time or whether that was their favorite holiday and they kind of pulled the whole family together to make Christmases fun and or any holiday fun, those days are going to be tough. And that's,
yes,
that's where we, again, you know, not just if you haven't seen somebody walking around, but if you think that something's going to be difficult for somebody or you think somebody's going to be alone during the holidays, you know, ask them to join you.
Exactly. Exactly. 7:45 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Andrew O'Grady, CEO of Mental Health America, mhadutchess.org. Andrew, can you hold through a quick break while we hear from the Zolls with the sports report?
Of course.
Back in a minute on the Beacon.
It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipes on the Beacon.
7:49 on the Beacon. Back to our conversation with Andrew O'Grady, CEO of Mental Health America, mhadutchess.org. So, Andrew, I should have given you a heads up on this. Yesterday, Robbie had an article about people having their relationships, intimate relationships with their, what was it, Robbie, the AI
Yeah, let me pull up the exact quote here. One in five high schoolers have had a romantic AI relationship or know someone who has.
And where are we going with this is the question.
Wow. Well, you know, technology is something. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to think how it equates in reality to life. I mean, no, I can't. I'm trying to think back, and is there anything like that when we were children? And there isn't. I mean, you know, there isn't. I mean, we have AI, which can literally communicate with you in real time. You know, I could be on ChatGPT and ask a question that's going to give me an answer.
Right.
That little joke I made in the beginning about using all the four of the things you talked about,
yes,
I just threw that in AI, and I said, give me a sentence, and boom, it did in 2 seconds. But there are computer programs that literally can be an actual person that not just words coming back to you on a screen, and you can talk to it and it talks back in,
yes,
real time. And you know, it's kind of like primed for that now, because a lot of young people do not feel comfortable because of you know, computers prior to AI socially communicating. I mean, they don't feel comfortable having conversations with people. It's not something they do because, and I don't want to generalize, but,
right,
you know, we've talked about when we were kids, we were outside the minute we put our clothes on, we're gone. And I didn't come back until, you know, dinner. And right, I don't want to sound like, you know, I know I'm old, but, you know, the bell rings or, you know, oh yeah, we had neighbors. My mother never rang a bell, but we had neighbors, parents that rang the bell when it's time for dinner and you come in. And, you know, now, you know, I could just talk for my kids, and they're 30, 31, and 27 now. They went out at times, but certainly not to that level. And a lot of times they sat in front of their computers or used their phone and were, you know, or watching or streaming on Netflix or whatever it is. So you have that dynamic of people not really knowing how to socialize or feeling comfortable socializing. You know, I was at a bar. I don't want to ramble on, but I was at a restaurant yesterday, 2 days. I mean, I'm in Washington, D.C. for the National MHA Conference,
oh,
and I was at a restaurant by myself eating, and the restaurant table was very close to the table next to mine, and two people were talking, and it was kind of clear that they barely knew each other. They might have been on a date. I don't know. But, God, it was awkward. I mean, and I thought to myself, I would not want to be doing that. So it's got to be so hard for people to communicate. And I did see something on 60 Minutes a while back. It was a little strange where people in, I think, China, I believe, were buying these, they're almost robots.
Yes.
That they communicate with, they talk to, and I don't know. I mean, listen, we're going down a weird world. We got this AI thing is going to change everything, and I don't know about these romantic relationships, but hey, listen, you got to get some practice somewhere, right? I mean, I don't know.
So I have like a bit of a devil's advocate here. What's the difference, just in essence, of this AI companionship versus imaginary friends?
Probably more real, because you're actually talking to somebody.
Yeah. Well, it's still like the companionship, that's something that doesn't exist. And at least as a kid, at least maybe 20 years ago when I was a child, like imaginary friends were still commonplace. I guess now that imaginary companionship is just through a computer. Yeah, I'm just playing devil.
And why wouldn't you want the more real version of that? And why do people have imaginary friends? It's because they want that in their life. A lot of times that happens with single children, no brothers and sisters in the house. Somebody to align with them. Yeah. So
It's fascinating. And Andrew, as we go forward, I mean, I'm sure we'll have more conversations on this subject and really turn it and look at it from very different perspectives. When Robbie and I talked about this yesterday, and I just did a little quick search on it, there's hundreds of articles already written about this from any number of sources. So, Institute for Family Studies, Counterfeit Connections, The Rise of AI Romantic. This is from February of 2025. Here's one from CNBC, Human AI Relationships No Longer Just Science Fiction. Women with AI Boyfriends Mourn the Loss of Love, Lost Love. So is this going to actually impair people's ability, like you just kind of touched on, will this impair people's ability to have real, real relationships, real intimate relationships? It may well. It's gonna alter it somehow or other.
Yeah, I mean, if AI is the perfect version of whatever you're dealing with, I mean, it comes. I know I've only used it with language,
right.
And it spits stuff out perfectly almost every single time. So, if that's the it learns from you. So. It becomes the perfect boyfriend or girlfriend if you think about it. I mean, they respond back to you exactly as you're hoping they will. And it's a little scary, to be honest. I mean, it's certainly going to impact our population if we go forward.
Well,
I don't think there's going to be too many children coming from these relationships.
Well, but then, like you just said, though, the perfect relationship, and then you run into the real relationship. You run into reality.
Meets the level that you had before. Hopefully the idea of touch, human touch,
yes.
Hopefully that supersedes all that. And I hope people can, I could just imagine going forward. There'll be groups where, people are encouraged to hold hands. Or so. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it's because they're going to have to get that human touch and know what that feels like and realize that that's, that adds a level that you can't get from AI. And I don't know, unless you're buying robots. I mean, when robots start happening, AI robots, then that's a whole other story. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'll be retired by then, so that's thank goodness. I can't. This is above my pay grade. I can't handle
it. But, it is something that, I'm glad we're having this conversation, and we'll explore it more, because I think about this, and it's not too long back you and I were talking about, and Robbie and I were talking about the increased use of antidepressants, particularly among young women. Are there parallels here that we need to be looking at? I don't know. That's a question, but I think we need to have our eyes and ears open and attuned to these connections. Andrew?
Well, we're going to have to see over time. I think the AI thing is a little too early for that to correlate those two.
Right.
But it certainly does go to what I was talking about, is that people tend to isolate and focus on computers and their screens and not want to interact with people. So, I'm sure that's part of the correlation between that for sure.
Exactly, exactly. We have about two minutes left, I think, before we go out to the break. This is a time of year where you depend on funding from government sources, I imagine. And so it's with everything going on, whether it's local budgets, it must be a stressful time for you to navigate through that budget process, correct?
Well, it is difficult. Sorry about the voice this morning. It is difficult. And I don't know what's going to happen. And you have to react to everything. You know, yesterday I heard on the radio, and I'm not turning this to politics, but, you know, the president said that, you know, they're going to be focusing cutting on Democratic programs. And I get the card he's playing to try to get them to, you know, come to the table and pass the open the government. So I get that, and I hope that's all that is a card, because I guess you would say, maybe not. I don't know if the programs that we have are the Democratic programs
I don't think so. And I'll tell you, and I know we're going to be out of time here in a second, but what I've taken away from that, because they were reading a list of some of the ones out there, they weren't even things that were even in this country. It was just really absurd things. And the point being that we have unmet needs here. You know, maybe some point in the future those might be okay, but we really need to, you know, see that we have the funding for programs here. I mean, I look across this state, and I've done a lot of work about on looking at the history of Chicago. Holy Moses, you've got that whole south and west side of Chicago that, I did overlays with the failure of the schools, the high levels of crime, the lack of health care for residents there, and, you know, let's start addressing those needs. Andrew, we're up against the hard stop on the clock here, but great conversation this morning.
All right. Have a great day.
We'll talk again soon. Thank you very much.